Okay. Can you hear me clearly back there? Am I all right? Okay, good. This morning we're going to continue in our Easter series called If He Raised Jesus, He Can Raise You. If He Raised Jesus, He Can Raise You. And this morning I want to speak particularly from the topic of raising you up in your mind. Raising you up in your mind. Because I think it's the biggest challenge when we come to Christ is not so much the fact that He has finished and completed a work of salvation at the cross, but the challenge is conforming and reshaping the way we think. That's the big challenge. Because our actions are determined by what we think. What we say is determined by what we think. And if that doesn't change to coincide or to meet what has been accomplished at the cross, we don't give a good representation of what God wants for our lives to represent here on earth. Because we serve a God who is of power. Now you're going to have to help me this morning, because I'm not feeling well, so you're going to have to shout for me. I said, we serve a God who is of power. He's not a God who's struggling through life or trying to struggle with or combat issues. He's a God who has absolute and complete victory. And He purchased absolute and complete victory for you and me at Calvary. And to prove that the victory was complete, the Bible says on the third day, He rose from the grave. So he didn't want us to be left with a doubt in our minds that the victory was complete. To seal it all, the Bible says He was risen from the grave on the third day. And the Bible also says that if Jesus be not risen from the grave, then we are yet in our sins. But we know that's not true. Amen. You're going to have to talk to me a little bit, because he wants it to be clear, friends, saints, and He wants us to understand that when we think and are dealing with our life, we're not dealing from a perspective of hope. We're dealing from a perspective of a completed and an accomplished work in Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to wish for anything. We have it in Him. Are you hearing me? What I'm trying to tell you, we have it. We're not wishing and hoping for salvation. We're not wishing and hoping for deliverance. We have it all in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So I want to encourage you today, because, and I guess I'm probably am feeling the way I'm feeling, because God knows, you know, because I'd be trying to blow up in here today. And so He's got me like this, I guess, so I don't blow up too much and just try to be a little bit calmer than usual. But He's good anyway, despite the circumstances of what we feel right now. That doesn't change who God is. He's still good. You're going through a struggle right now, beloved. I'm going to prophesy to you. Because you're going through a struggle right now, that doesn't change who God is. He's still good. Something is happening in your life right now and it doesn't seem right. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't change who God is. He's still good. You may be broken in your heart and disconnected in a relationship and hoping things are going to change. But beloved, let me tell you something. It doesn't change who God is. God is still good regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we're going through. And because God is good, we have a hope and we have a promise that someday we're going to break out of the thing that we're... Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Jesus went down into the grave for 3 days. But He did rise, didn't He? You are in a stuff of probably struggle right now. But I want to encourage you, you are going to rise. You're not staying there. The Bible says the same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you and me. Come on, somebody. So if that Spirit is in me, I don't care what the circumstance, it can't hold me. It can't limit me. It can't keep me, because the one who is greater is in me. Okay, so I want to just try my best to encourage you. I already preached the whole message just now, so I don't know. You want to raise us up in our minds. Let's just pray. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name that You would help me to declare this with boldness and with confidence, and that Your name would be glorified through it. in the lives of your people would be challenged and changed. Amen. Now, because of the way we think and because of the way we are and because of sin, we have been conditioned to think a certain way. We have been programmed to respond to life a certain way. And so when Jesus died, he came to give us a release from a previously limited way of thinking into an unlimited way of thinking. So what gives us that opportunity is given to us by, the Bible says, faith. Faith opens a door for something that we were never able to get a hold of before, but he gives us access to it through faith. And so now I don't have to live or talk as though nothing is going to change, as though I'm always going to be like I am, because he's given me faith for more. I know that I'm not always going to look like this, because the Bible tells me it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like him. So I'm not always going to have this mortal, limited flesh that I'm carrying now, but one day I'm going to have an unlimited body. I put it like this all the time. I say, you know, now I have a Ford Pinto or Morris Minor, but one day this body is going to resemble a spiritual Porsche, a Lamborghini, a Maserati, and I'm going to be able to move throughout the universes at will. It's going to change. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. So we look at it and we know that the battle ourselves, we know for without a doubt, the battle that we're engaged in now is over our minds. The enemy wants to distort and cause trouble in our minds because he knows that if he can mess with our minds, he will mess with our action. He will mess with what we do, and he will mess with how we relate to life, and our view of God will change because he's able to cause doubt to come into our mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." What I think about life concerning me and how I am involved with it, what is in my heart determines how I respond to life. And what the enemy wants to do and what life in itself wants to do is to keep you in a place where your response to life is always limited. It'll never change. It'll always be like this. Nothing is ever going to happen. Well, that's not what the Bible tells me. It tells me the greater thing is coming. When I am in Christ, the Bible tells me no matter what I face outside, the greater one is on the inside. And because he is on the inside, the thing on the outside is possibly able to change. And he tells us in Peter, look not at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can I tell you, somebody here, the brother, husband, sister, mother, whoever it is, you know, you may seem right now that relationship isn't going well. You may feel right now that that situation with your husband is not happening the way you want it to happen. Can I encourage you today that that is a temporary situation, because God is working behind the scenes on something that is eternal and far outweighs what's happening in your presence now. That God is putting together something for your life that's going to astound you and cause you to say, oh, the one that I am serving is the greater one. Because it may not look like you want it to look now, but God is not done yet. He's going to turn it around even while it seems like it's unchangeable right now. He's going to turn it around. And so Romans tells me, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It is with your mind that you serve God. It is through your mind, the gate of your mind, that everything happens in your spirit. If your mind is locked up, God cannot access the best that he has for your life through into your spirit, because your mind is still steeped in the limitation of this world. This world has trained us to do certain things. Sin has trained us to talk a certain way. Sin has caused us to be and act a certain way. When Jesus came to Calvary to set you free, the Bible, he didn't just set you free from some just going to the pub or doing the thing. He set you free also from a limited perspective in your mind. I want to show you something, and I hope by the grace of God, you're going to be encouraged by it today. I believe the biggest challenge to the resurrection is the way we think. Ephesians 4:8 says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave good gifts to men. Ephesians 4:8 says that. Now, there's two schools of thought in that scripture. One is that he led people or souls, the souls that were bound in hell by the enemy. He led them captive. He led those people who were captive, those souls who were captive, he led them to freedom. So he led captivity captive. But then you have another school of thought, which I like to think a lot about, is really good. It's also the thing which held you captivity in captivity, the thing that had you bound, he is now leading it captive. And so the thing that held you is no longer something that controls you, but God has control of the thing that once used to control you. And he is leading it captive. And I love both of those schools of thought, because the fact of the matter is, it shows the sovereignty of God over you and your circumstances. Beloved, can I encourage you this morning? Your circumstances are not in control. The devil is not in control. God is in control. He is sovereign over all, in all, and through all. He's God, hallelujah. And so it doesn't matter. What are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I need to calm down because I'm about to lose my voice. I can't talk no more. So he's in control of it all. And so, my guy's gone. Can I get somebody to help me out real quick? He disappeared. I can't believe that. He left the job. There's to be excuse me. The guy left the job. That's how serious. Go to the next slide for me, please, sir. The next one after that. The next one after that. Now, that picture right there, it represents something that we're all anticipating. We're all anticipating one day that he's going to come back for us, and we're going to be resurrected out of death. And we're going to rise. And the Bible says we're going to meet him in the sky. Yes? We're looking forward to that day. Can you go to the next? I tell you what, that is one day that I'm going to rejoice at. I don't know about you, but I may not give him as lot. You know, sometimes we should rejoice as if that day is already here. Because really, that's the fact of the matter. We're only waiting the manifestation of what has already been accomplished. Hallelujah. It's already been done. So we're waiting for the manifestation of that. And so right here, what I want you to understand is that picture is symbolic of something that is going to take place. But it depicts something. It depicts something that God has done in you and me. The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. And then the Bible says in Ephesians that he has raised us up and sat us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And it also says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But sometimes we like to allow ourselves to be brought back to a level of thinking that should be gone. And I know it's a struggle for us all. It's a struggle. But can we just keep looking forward and higher to what God has purchased for us versus reclining and going back to what he has taken us from? I think if we can get our eyes and our mind on what's heavenly and what's godly, and that will be able to change our action in the natural. Are you hearing me? And he's got far more for us. That power is present now. We're not looking. See, the resurrection, how many of you know the resurrection is a true event that's going to happen? It's going to happen. But see, we have always praised and looked to an event versus looking to, listen, that's an event that's coming, but that power that's going to cause that event to happen is present now. I'll say it again. The power that has causes that, that caused, that will cause that event to happen is present now. So the Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Can I just encourage somebody this morning? You may be going through a struggle, and he may not quicken you out of the struggle, but he'll quicken you to enable you to go through the struggle. When he quickens you, it'll either quicken you for immediate victory or the endurance to go to the end. But whatever the situation may be, he's not going to leave you without what's necessary to get you through the problem. Are you hearing me this morning? He wants to give us what's necessary and encourage us to keep going. It's easy to quit, isn't it? Come on. I said it's easy to quit. But beloved, when you have a confidence that God has promised something to you, and you know he is faithful and just, and he is a God who will do exactly as he says, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. You can keep moving. Keep it going. What's the term? Keep it pushing or keep, I don't know. Something like that. And so 1 Corinthians says, and if Christ is not raised, your faith is foolish. You are yet in, still in your sins if he's not raised. Listen, can I put it to you this way? Because he is raised, and because things have become new, and because we serve him by our mind, we might all have it perfected yet, but we ought to focus on doing it that way. Are you hearing me? Our focus needs to be in that direction. Why should I talk about he can never do something if he can, in fact, raise people from the dead? Why should I say that this situation will always be like that if the Bible makes it clear that he defeated death, which is our last and most powerful enemy? If he can defeat death, what stops him from defeating that problem you're struggling with? He's God. And even if you don't, he gives you the grace to get going. I like the three Hebrew children. You know what he said, right? They said, right? God, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, be not careful. We're not careful to say to you what we got to say. We know our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down. And there's got to be something in us that says, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it feels. I'm still pressing on to the prize of the high calling, the mark in God. Come on, I'm going to keep going after him no matter what's going on. I remember when Greg was here and we used to go to the gym, you know, old man trying to get. And Greg used to say, Vince, Pastor, come on now, just give me a little bit more. Give me a little bit more. Come on, push. Give me a little. I used to say, nah, I can't do it. Then he would say, are you giving up? I said, no, I just ain't got it right now. Oh, okay. So, what if I tell you, Pastor, and you preach one of them messages, and I say, I just can't do it. A little spark came in me when he said that. I said, oh, he's embarrassing me. And I gave it a little more. And I found out that I had more than I thought I had. See, the point is, it's not whether or not you think you have, but what it takes to go through. Because it's not about that. It's about the one who is in you, who can quicken you and enable you to go through it, to change your frame of mind, to change your circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not even the struggle that we're facing. It's how we think about the struggle. So he wants to enable us to get through that. Okay. In our thinking, we often subject ourselves about what's going to happen. what is going to happen, what's going to happen down the road, instead of thinking, well, he overcame death. All he needs to do is say one word and everything changes. Can I get you to go to John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we're going to conclude there. See, if he could defeat death, which was our last enemy, the greatest adversary to life itself, if he defeated death, why meditate on what could be or what can possibly stop us? Why not meditate on all Jesus has to say is one word? Why not meditate on all he has to do is say, simply put, maybe all he has to do is call your name and things are going to change. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 11. Go ahead to the next slide, Joe. I know y'all remember the story, right? Let me just read. John's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm going to read some verses to you. That's Lazarus. And the reason why that's up there is because I couldn't find, so I had to find a little coloring thing. A little color. I should have maybe tried to color it in before I put it up there. But I'm not good. I would have gone all out of the lines and all over the place. Now, a certain man was sick. I want us to see everything in this context, in this scripture. Everything that I'm trying to convey is right here in this scripture. And I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes concerning it. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the son of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? And Jesus said, and there are not 12 hours in a day. If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of day. You see, already he's dealing with a perspective on the way his disciples even think. See, Jesus, this whole thing with Lazarus was not just the example of somebody being raised from the dead. Jesus was trying to deal with a level and a limited perspective on what he's able to do. And a limited thinking. And beloved, it is our thinking that causes us not to be able to see the power of God realized in certain things in our life. The Bible says it's by our minds that we serve God. Listen, it goes on to say, verse 11. These things he said, and after he said them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking and taking a rest in sleep. It's their thinking. And the reason why Jesus is trying to show them something here is he wants them to realize this is not just sleep. This is death. But I want to show you something, that I want to get your minds out of this limited way of thinking. And I want you to see that that which is death and what seems impossible is not impossible for me. What seems impossible for you and what seems like it's not possible, everything, it can't be done. I want you to see that it is able to happen. Let's go. I want to get to something here. Listen. In verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas said, who was called the twin, let us go so we can die with him. See, the one thing about this kind of thing, one thing about this is when the power of the God's resurrection is not allowed to reform, and the Word of God is not allowed to reshape our mind, I tell you, what I call stinking thinking is contagious. You ever been around people who just sit and they talk about what's not possible? Pretty soon that stuff starts rubbing off on you. And then you think that things may not be possible. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of stuff on Facebook today, and people are dealing with people based on a worldly principle. So we deal with people in politics based on a worldly principle. We deal with people who have different signs of belief. Muslims, Buddhism. We deal with them based on a worldly principle. And so we deal with them and we fight with them because they don't believe what we believe. Beloved, we're not here to argue with anybody. We're here to demonstrate the power of God so that their trust would not rest in our conversation, but it'll rest in the power of God. So we're not here to argue. We're here to demonstrate the goodness and the power of an almighty God. Somebody needs to say amen right there, because we need to see that. We're constantly, I see it on Facebook all the time, we're arguing with this person, arguing with that person, as if our God is in battle with Buddha. At least we're trying to fight with the Prophet Muhammad. No, beloved, we serve God. And I don't have to argue with them about anything. I need to show a demonstration of power and love that overwhelms everything that they say and do. Remember when Janice and Jim Brees, they came to Moses and they said, they came to Moses and Moses, they challenged him. And Moses threw his staff down and it turned into a snake, didn't it? And then Janice and Jim Brees, the sorcerers of Pharaoh, they came and they threw their staffs down, right? And they turned into snakes, right? But let me tell you something. Moses' serpent, or his rod, swallowed up Janice and Jambres' rod. They didn't stand there arguing about the situation and trying to say, oh, God's bigger. Oh, no, he's bigger than Pharaoh. No. Janice's rod swallowed up Janice and Jambres' rod. I am tired of us getting into conflict over stuff we should be swallowing up by the demonstration of the power of God. That's got to come. We need to see that, amen? God, it's powerful, I'm going to tell you that. And that's what they need to see. It's good to love. That's what people do, love people. But God's demonstration of love was so powerful, it changed our lives here presently today by swallowing up the evil that was in us. Let me keep reading. Anybody remember what verse I stopped at? See, y'all ain't reading, are you? Busted. Who remember? What verse? 17. So then when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha had soon, as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, it's always, it would have changed. She didn't understand that the present, where she was presently, was a perfect opportunity for change. We're always looking for something down the road, some event. And she goes on to say, I know he will rise at the resurrection. Yeah? But let me tell you, the resurrection is not an event. It is a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he dead, shall never die. He says, I am the resurrection. And so the challenge for us is not to look for something else or to look down the road for an event. You know, we run to these events. We'll run to this prophetic event. We'll Run to the evangelistic event. We'll run to this new conference and we'll go to that conference. And he's trying to tell us the power to see the change take place is already in you. He said that that power that raised Jesus from the grave, glory be to God, it's alive in you and me. I don't need to run an event. I run to some prophecy or some conference. I got it inside of me. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been saved from the power of the enemy. There is power in you to bring about change in your circumstances. Somebody say amen. Oh boy, I tell you. So, I just want to say this, and I'm going to close. It goes on to say, let's just go to verse 40. It says, they went to verse 39 and 40. They went to the stone. They said, she said, Lazarus dead, and we don't dare not open up the tomb because he stinks. I feel really bad right now, and I felt, when you get sick, you get that sick odor. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That sick odor. I don't mean to bring graphic thoughts to your mind about armpits or anything like that. But I had to get in that tub, let me put it this way, and stay there for several hours. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all looking at me, why you want to talk about that? I want you to see something. Because, see, she said, I don't want you to open that tomb because he stinks. And the reason what she was saying was right, because his body began to decay and everything, that his molecular structure was breaking down. But he tells them to roll the stone away. So her limited thinking, the way we process stuff based on this earth, there is something that happens that's normal. We're going to die. Things are going to, it's all over. It's going to be like that. Certain things happen when we go through certain things, and it's always going to be like that according to the way we think now. But he said, I want you to roll the stone away. See, Jesus knew what was going to happen. There was no doubt in his mind. And what he was trying to convey, he wants to convey to you and me, that what happens naturally is not something that the frame of what happens and occurs naturally and in a worldly way, it does not control who he is or what he's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. See, we live in a society that there's, everything happens according to its kind. Everything happens according to the way things are supposed to happen naturally. If you step on somebody's foot, there's going to be pain. If you trip, most likely you're going to fall. If you mess around with drugs, most likely you're going to be addicted. If you do this, there's always this natural progression. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you something, that stuff does not dictate to me what I'm capable of doing. And so he says, roll the stone away. And he calls Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, you got to understand that I know if you were there and if I were there, we all would have said, wait a minute. I got to see this. Let me see him do what he said he's going to do. Because that's the way we think. But Jesus is trying to give us an understanding that things are going to change from this point on. I want you to see a new way of thinking. Jesus called them by name, he calls them by name. Everything, I talked about this some time ago, that all the molecules, everything came back to him, got in line, and came back to him, to his body, all marched up. Everything responded to him calling the name of Lazarus. Everything that he lost came back to him, and now he's coming out of the tomb. He's walking out of the tomb and responding to the call of Jesus. He's saying, this, what is natural does not limit me. So in our minds, we've been trained by sin, and so we expect certain things to happen based on what we have learned through life. And Jesus is saying that still doesn't stop me from doing what I need to do in your life, regardless of how it looks. You know, when you go to, for me right now, it's a challenge. I was talking to AJ. When I go to the gym now, because I'm 61 years old, if I go to the gym, it takes me longer and harder to grow. You know, I ain't growing yet because I hadn't been back to the gym since October. But it takes longer and harder to grow because there are certain facts about my natural life. You know, you get over 60 years old, you start to decline and all that stuff. But I found out that if I take vitamins, things change. If I take vitamins, yeah, that's right. You see, I have these 50-plus vitamins. 50-plus, for 50-year-old people and older. And I take these vitamins, and these vitamins will enable me to grow better than I would if I hadn't. And so the situation here is that what God is trying to get us to see, I don't know if that equates right, vitamins in the Word of God, but it does bring about a change in the way you see things in life. Vitamins. Praise God for vitamins. So, Jesus saying, just because it looks like it's impossible, I want to reshape your thinking to understand nothing's impossible for me. Trust me, I have power in heaven and in earth. If I command it, it's going to happen. I just want to say something else. I bet you this particular situation changed the way Lazarus thought and the way everybody else who was in this the vicinity. I bet you this changed the way they thought for the rest of their life and for the rest of Lazarus's second life. I think this changed everything because really the fact of the matter is that we were like Lazarus. There's no difference. We were like Lazarus. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And he raised us up. So if he can raise us up, that encounter or that experience with God should put an indelible marker in our minds to know that nothing is impossible for him. So I should never let myself think of limiting factors, but begin to constantly focus on what is possible. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Can I go to the next slide, Joel? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will what? Give you life? Come on. He will give you. He will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit. Listen, I used to think I had to try to make myself think a certain way. I had to force myself to think a certain way. No. What he's trying to say to us is the same Spirit that raised you out of sin is the same Spirit that can change your mind. I don't depend upon some positive method of thinking. I depend upon what he has already accomplished at Calvary and what his word is promising to me and what his Spirit can do into me. The Bible says he is able to quicken your mortal body. Listen, I feel weak right now and I feel like I just want to go to bed, but that tells me something, that it is not what I feel that enables me to go forward. It is what he is able to do that enables you to go forward. So it's not your ability, it's his ability that enables you to change with the way you think. Listen, son, beloved, listen to me. All those years ago, before you knew Christ, you probably thought everything concerning your life was either an impossibility or was never going to change. But when he saved you, that was just the tip of the iceberg to show you you, all things are possible through him. But let me tell you something else. You may have thought nothing was ever going to change in your life, but when you began to see change after change after change, he is trying to get you to change the way you think by showing you what he is able to do. Listen, I'm telling you, saints, I am not here and you are not here just because we thought and made ourselves get here. He brought us here, and he's trying to keep us in our foremost of our mind. If he brought us here, he can take us further. We don't have to stay where we are, that he's going to do more. The Bible tells us he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to that power that is working in you. And if it's working in you, you can change. If it's working in you, your circumstance can change. If it's working in you, your friend, your relationships that were broken can come together again. Of his working in you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And every lie that comes against you in judgment, you can condemn it. Of his working in you, he can raise you up. Of his working in you, you may be depressed now, but tomorrow you're going to rise up with joy in your hearts. Of his working in you, no one can keep you limited. Hallelujah. Nobody can. Nobody can. Whatever your struggle, whatever you're going through, you have victory. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who's able. Let this mind be in you. Don't let what other people think about your God determine what you think about your God. Don't let other people's circumstances determine to you who God is. You know, every one of us, that's why he calls us, every one of us has a separate walk. To you, he may be healer right now. But to me, he may be baptizer. To someone else, he may be deliverer. Everybody has a walk. But it's all serving to conform, to change our minds. The Bible tells us, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's our mind. It's the battle over our mind that's the struggle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the battle over your mind. I tell you, many years ago, I used to always have this mindset that if anything's going to happen, it had to happen a certain way. I grew up in a church environment for if God is really moving, he's going to move in a certain way. I grew up in a family environment that I had to do certain things based on what was taught years and previous ago to previous. And so now I'm locked in to a person's understanding of what should be done, rather than my understanding connection with God. So limited the way I thought, limited the way I treat people and how I related to people. Because I don't know about you. Can I just tell you a story? I grew up in New York City. I grew up with a mindset, and this is how God works. I grew up with a mind. Can I just be clear? Is it okay? Clear with you. I grew up in a mindset, and I grew up in a city, in a place, in a perspective in life. Can I just say, I hated white people. But you see how God is? He brings me to the United Kingdom and gets me to marry a white person. To change, listen, my perspective and my mindset was being changed. What I thought meant something, I find out down the road it doesn't mean or mean as much as I thought it meant those years ago. Because I understand what matters most to God, not what matters to me in my limited perspective of thinking. And sometimes our attitudes have to be changed in order for us to see and understand. We have to be reformed. You ever try to tell somebody, you ever try to tell somebody, AJ, like, look here, you in the weight room, like, I know I'm always related to this because you and certain guys around here in the gym a lot. You and certain guys, y'all do the weight. And you ever try to tell somebody that you're working with, and you just say, just do it right there. And like I used to say, yeah, I can't. And you know that it's not what they can't do, it's what they're thinking they can't do. And so, in order for them to change, they have to experience that they are able, right? And so when they get to experience, from that point on, they exceed. They go from strength to strength. Let me give you another story. Remember Roger Bannister, who ran the first four-minute mile? Roger Bannister, many years ago, he was the first man to run the four-minute mile. And from that point on, it was an impossibility for everybody else to run below 4 minutes because of a certain way of thinking. But the moment Roger Bannister ran less sub 4 minute mile, a floodgate of people, of runners, began to run sub 4 minute miles. And you know what this change of thinking will cause for us? A floodgate of God doing phenomenal things in each and every one of us, because maybe one, two, three of us change the way we think about a thing. If we start to realize how powerful this God who is in us is, then it's going to change the way we respond to life. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me. And if we do that, some things are going to change in our communities, change in our jobs, change wherever we are. Things are going to change. Father, I just give you the praise and the glory today. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that in the days to come, that you would help us to allow you to do in our hearts and in our minds what you long to do. Father, more than anything, I pray that you would raise us up in our minds. Raise us up to the fact that we know we serve a God who is in all and in control of all. And God, after it's all said and done, we're going to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Glory to God. But we're going to come, the worship team's going to come back, I guess, in a minute.